Thank you. If your legs will let you, will you please stand to worship God? We're here today because Mervyn Page has died. We're here to remember him before God, to give thanks for his life. We're here to express our sorrow, to know grief because of our love for him. We're here to take time to remember and to consider our own lives. We're here to find comfort and hope. Scripture says, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the human heart conceived, God has prepared for those who love him. Mervyn chose the hymns, so we join to sing, Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise. In prayer, can I just give you a word of explanation about the picture on the front of the order of service? And I know that some people might think it a bit odd that a single man who was childless has got a child's drawing on the front of his order of service. And it's a picture with a smile in it that was never Mervyn's smile. I know that to be true. But If you look at it, it's just a great picture. It was drawn by one of the brigade children. I'll tell you more about that in a minute. But it's a man, because it's got trousers and it's got a tie. And the other thing is, if you notice the chair that this character is sitting, it's the foyer chair. And that was, you know, where Mervyn sat. And that's why it's there, because it just was exactly him. And it was how one of the young people saw him. And the designation underneath was Mervin, M-E-R-V-I-N. So let's join to pray. Let's pray. God, our Creator, you made all the rhythms and patterns of creation. So just as you give us birth, so you are there when death comes. You've made us mortal beings of frail flesh and gentle spirit, and you've given to each of us a span of life, a time when we are born and a time when we die. Today we see the value of life, of a life lived well, and we are glad that our lives can be lived within the knowledge of your eternity. Loving God, comfort those who mourn. We come before you believing that you share our loss of Mervin and know our sense of loss at his death. Assure us of your love and support us with your strength today and in the days to come. God of all creation, Jesus the risen one, Spirit bringing hope and new life, God, the Holy Trinity, we give you praise and we claim your comforting love this day and always. Amen. Let's say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. The hymn, In Heavenly Love Abiding.
Thank you.
amazed if anybody has ever heard the reading that you're about to hear read at a funeral. If you have, please make sure you tell me before you go home. Last year, we did a series on pick your favourite character in the Old Testament and tell us all about it. And this is the reading that Mervyn chose.
Zelophehad, son of Hepher, had only sons, had no sons, but only daughters. Their names were Mala, Noah, Hogla, Milcah, and Tirzah. Mala, Noah, Hogla, Milcah, and Tirzah were the daughters of Zelophehad, son of Hepher, son of Gilead, son of Machir, son of Manasseh, son of Joseph. They went and stood before Moses, Eleazar the priest, the leaders, and all the whole community at the entrance of the tent of the Lord's presence and said, "Our father died in the wilderness without leaving any sons. He was not among the followers of Korah, who rebelled against the Lord. He died because of his own sin. Just because he had no sons, why should our father's name disappear from Israel? Give us property among our father's relatives." Moses presented their case to the Lord, and the Lord said to him, "What the daughters of Zelophehad request is right. Give them property amongst their father's relatives. Let his inheritance pass on to them." Thanks be to God.
Amen. So this old man picks this reading all about justice, but also about gender equality. That's what that reading's about. And I think I chose it today just to maybe hint that with Mervyn Page, there was more going on than you might have thought if you just got caught up in a key battle. You know, there was more going on than you might have thought if you just looked at him. And the other thing about Mervyn Page was that he was Welsh. He couldn't speak Welsh, but I thought the very least we can do is hear some Welsh read. The other reason for having this particular psalm read to us is that when Mervyn first left Wales, he missed the hills. So the good news is, although it's going to be read in Welsh, it will be shown in English for those of you who can't speak Welsh. Shame on you. Thank you, Bron.
Codaf fy llygaid tu ar mynyddoedd. O ble y daw cymorth i mi? Dawdd yn cymorth oddi wrth yr arglwydd, creawdwr nefoedd a deir. Nid yw'n gadael i'r droed lithro, ac nid yw dy geidwad yn cysgu. Nid yw ceidwad Israel yn cysgu, nac yn hyno. Yr arglwydd yw dy geidwad. Yr arglwydd yw dy gysgod a dy ddeheulaw. Ni fydd y hael yn y dydaron y dydd na'r lleiad yn y nos. Bydd yr arglwydd yn dy gadw rhag pob drwg. Bydd yn cadw dy einioes. Bydd yr arglwydd yn gwylio dy fynd a ddod yn nawr a hyd byth. Amen.
Amen. The final reading we're having today, we're having because very recently Mervyn's nephew, Malcolm, died, and this passage was read at his funeral.
See how much the Father has loved us. His love is so great that we are called God's children, and so, in fact, we are. This is why the world does not know us. It has not known God. My dear friends, we are now God's children, but it is not yet clear what we shall become. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he really is. Everyone who has this hope in Christ keeps himself pure, just as Christ is pure. Amen.
So we join to sing, Jesus, these eyes have never seen. Died, let us reflect together on his life. He was one of eight, three boys, five girls, and only his sister Beryl is still alive. His father was a miner. Mervyn spoke of them working in seams where a deep seam was 3 foot. And many worked in 18 inches. And then at the end of the day, they had to walk a mile and a half home from their work. His father was unemployed for a long time in the late 1930s and 40s. He was on the dole for 10 years. He was given permission to pick coal from the slag heaps. Mervyn said that growing up, his life was not exciting, but he had great freedom in his childhood. He was spoilt and indulged. And he wondered, I think this is going to get you all. He wondered whether the fact that he was spoilt and indulged as he was growing up was why he never married, because nobody could ever possibly live up to the indulgence that he'd received from his family. Oh, He went to the grammar school, and then he went to Swansea University, where he graduated in electrical engineering. Then he went to work in the Admiralty in Bath, and he was part of what is now Bath Central United Reformed Church. In the 1960s, the whole department was transferred to Pinner. He worked for the Department of Environment, commuting through Waterloo Station. In 1964-67, he went to work in Singapore, where he felt he fitted in very well in a place where there were no class barriers. He enjoyed it, he enjoyed the food, and he managed the heat, although it was a challenge. He found leaving Wales difficult. He felt that he was lonely. But he said, of the town where he grew up, there were 200 houses, 3 churches, and a Salvation Army citadel. 200 houses, 3 churches, and a Salvation. No uniformed organisations. But when he was 9, he became the secretary of the Christian Endeavour. And he was the youngest, not surprisingly at 9, he was the youngest in the country. One of his claims to fame was that he was nearly caught up in the Six-Day War. And he did travel widely. Singapore, Hong Kong, Thailand, Israel, Jordan. And he took fantastic photos as he went. In 1967, he joined Kingston Congregational Church. Where do I start? It has to be said that it is a great shame that for a number of people, Mervyn Page was defined as the man who would not give them a key, who would tell them off if they left a window open or a door unlocked. But he had much greater depth than that. And the church ought to be ashamed of itself that we let that happen. He was, for example, highly committed to the youth work of the church, doing what he could. The picture that I have of him is wandering behind one of the children who was allowed to roam in the foyer, and he was wandering just behind her, keeping an eye and making sure that she was safe. Or the time when we had a teenager holiday club, and he offered to help. And we did a relaxation session, and there he was, lying on the floor with his jacket and his tie, stiff as a board. And we had a bring and share tea, and he made coconut haystacks, and the children found it amazing that he knew how to cook. And one of them said, I always thought his name was Merlin. So I, of course, told Mervyn that one of the children thought his name was Merlin. And he smiled and said, well, of course, it is from the same root. He worked as the treasurer of the brigades. He did it in an overly bureaucratic way. He nearly drove people nuts. But he was the one who, when the building was being redesigned, said that there had to be a place for the young people to play rumbustious games. Many would talk about his skill at the holiday club, taking photographs, which were not the obvious ones, but the photo of somebody really engaged in what they were doing. He had a fabulous reading voice. Fabulous reading voice. He used to play a part in the church's drama group, the Tabard Players, and many people really enjoyed the times when he would read the scriptures. He looked after this building. Sometimes he lost sight of the wood for the trees. But he was meticulous. He was loyal. It wasn't that long ago where he would be in this building 5 days out of 7. The combination of old age and a natural bureaucratic style was not a happy one. But in the middle of it all, there was a gentle, committed man trying to get out. He was highly committed to the life of this church. He would sit for hours in the foyer reading detective fiction. The children in the brigade were once overheard discussing what it was that he was reading, because the concept that he might just be reading for fun was beyond them. So they decided between themselves that he was reading the Bible and that he'd probably read it about 20 times. And they were very impressed. Fortunately, they never heard the shocking news that he didn't have a television, or that would have been much too much for them. For Mervyn, it has to be said that the beginning of the end was the death of his nephew. Around that time, people would comment that he seemed to have gone down suddenly. And he was deeply saddened. Malcolm was the future generation for him, with Mary and the close family. And he only told a few people of Malcolm's death, because he didn't want to impose. He was brave and he was uncomplaining in the face of death. He knew that he was going to die, and only Mervyn could tell his family, speak to Mary, to tell her that he was terminally ill and describe himself as being a bit down in the dumps. Fantastic. He was fiercely private and modest. Independent was his middle name. And the worst thing that you could say to Mervyn was, "I'll give you a lift." Mervyn has left us many good things and many models, but I suspect that he taught us things that he never thought he would be teaching us. Probably in a bad day, he would hope that he had taught us something about keeping the building safe, but that is not his main lesson to us. He's not been a better Christian than other people. He's not given more time than other people. He has been aware of himself. He couldn't do social things except quizzes where you didn't have to do chit-chat. He couldn't run a youth club, so he helped the brigade as their treasurer. Or he would go on camp with the young people. He would take photographs of the holiday club. He would help with the registration of the children. He couldn't engage easily with people. He found it excruciating. So he helped in administrative ways. He said that he found talking to people difficult. He underplayed his abilities in that way tremendously. He was a fantastic listener, but he would never believe it. He was great with people who are vulnerable. He didn't want to kick people out of this building who needed a warm and a cup of tea. He would treat them with a great deal of care and respect. He was wise in his life choices. He knew that he could easily become socially isolated, so he engaged with a wider group, which for him was the church, and he got into a routine. There was a certain tenderness and vulnerability about him, which was maybe why he was so appealing to the children. Some people in charge of church buildings want to keep the needy locked out. Mervyn wanted to keep things so that they could be used by the next person. He was a systems man. Sometimes he pushed it too far. And sometimes he got into conflict with people. But I can honestly and genuinely say that I never heard him say a bad word about anybody. I heard him say a bad thing about people's ability to put keys away, but that's not the same. And that's a very useful distinction. That's a big thing that I think he taught us, that you can have an argument with somebody about some malarkey that they've been up to, but still value them as a human being. And we don't always get that right, but he did. And now he's gone to his rest. Okay, I said, Mervyn, you know this is it. Anything troubling you? Anything you need to say to God? No. All okay? Yes. And now he has gone to his rest. Like all of us, he is dependent on the mercy of God. He's not a better Christian than others, not more hard-working than others, merely that we have seen his work and have been the beneficiaries of it. All Christian people are called to be faithful all the times of their lives. And he has been a faithful servant, and God will welcome him home. By the end of his life, his body was worn out, and now his life is over. But the rumour that there have been battles in heaven, with St. Peter being told off for leaving the keys around, it's all lies. So let us pray. Eternal God, source of all life, mysterious, profound, generous in love, we give you thanks because we have seen you in Mervyn. We thank you for his life. We thank you for all that he was. We thank you that he gave himself so generously. To his family, neighbours, but particularly to this community of faith. And in the silence, we thank you for our memories of him. We give you thanks that he was the sort of person that now he's dead, many people are surprised by how much they are moved to grief and sorrow by his loss. Help us to see more clearly the significance of life as we reflect upon him, and to grasp more firmly the hope that we are more than our years, and that love is stronger than death. We pray for ourselves, disturbed by the mystery of death and facing the questions that it raises. We pray for those who would want to be with us on this day, but can't be. Those for whom this is a funeral too far, and those who have other appointments in hospitals, in work, in schools and colleges that mean that they can't be here. Particularly, we pray for Mervyn's sister Beryl. Comfort all those who mourn, Lord Jesus. And as we honour Mervyn, we commit ourselves to care for each other, to bring hope to the despairing, and joy to those who sorrow. May we live as those who remember the past, and who have hope for the future. And we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Redeemer. Amen. So, two notices just before we sing the final hymn. The first one is, as you go out, you will see that there are offering plates. Mervyn decided that there wouldn't be, he didn't want any flowers, please. Donations in lieu to feed the mines, which you know a bit more about. And then he changed his mind. He said, no donations, no nothing. And the reason he decided that was because it was such a lot of work for somebody else. But I have to say, we overruled him. So if you'd like to make a donation, you know, you don't have to, but if you'd like to, that's where the money's going. And the other thing, if you can stay for a cup of tea and some scrumptious cake, the hall is at the back. Please stay if you can. Everybody is most welcome. So we join to sing the hymn that you knew we were going to sing before you even came here today. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah. With us, the blessing of the Creator, the blessing of the Son, the blessing of the Holy Spirit, now and always. Amen.